Hello, welcome to Tequila. I am your host, Daniel Regera. With me, replacing Burke for the next month or so, we're not sure, is Mr. Eric Shulkin.
Hello, Burke is on hiatus.
He's on hiatus, indeed.
On top of a mountaintop, just thinking deep thoughts, letting the wind, you know.
Like... He's on top of a mountain getting married, and we weren't invited.
No, he's not. That's not what's happening. But hello, happy to be back. Let's just talk some thoughts, man.
Yeah. So I wanted to start this segment. I bounced the idea off of Burke and then Eric. The idea is that we do kind of like rapid fire things. The segment is called Sober Thoughts. It's us not drinking. I mean, I'm having a beer, but I'm not taking shots of shit. And we just kind of chill, chat about things, keep it real short. None of that like hour and a half long bullshit of the regular episodes. So yeah, just like something to fill in the regular episodes.
If you couldn't get enough during the week, here's a little weekend listening for you.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
From
there you
us,
go.
Us here at Tequila Cast.
There you go.
Happy to be of service.
Okay, so something that neither Burke nor Eric gave enough of a shit about to agree to talk about in the full-time episode, I wanted to bring up Pokemon Sun and Moon because I am...
So I'm being held hostage now.
Yeah,
please,
exactly.
Somebody help me. Someone out there. I do not want to talk about this. But I'm happy that this is something you feel passionate about, Dan. Please continue.
I can only get so erect every time there's new Pokemon news. So, okay, the most recent thing that Nintendo released about the games, they keep dropping shit. The most recent thing they released is the full evolution line of the starters. And so, you know, we had Rowlet, the cute little grass flying owl. Rowlet fully evolves into Decidueye. These evolutions leaked, by the way, earlier in the year. Anyway, Decidueye.
That's a real WikiLeaks scenario, Dan. I can't believe I didn't hear about that.
Pokeleaks.
So it just sounds like a terrible diarrhea type condition Pokemon could have. Like, oh, he's got the Pokeleaks. I think I gotta put him down. Sorry, continue. Continue talking.
God damn it. Okay, Decidueye is the name of the fully evolved grass owl. He becomes a grass ghost, which is badass. He's kind of like a Robin Hood, like hooded archer kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. He looked pretty fashionable, actually. I remember enjoying that from the trailer because I did watch it. You know, I'm not that fickle. I'll watch your stupid shit. So,
he's just kind of fickle.
So I thought he looked cool.
Yeah.
What else you got?
So Grass Ghost is the first Grass Ghost starter. Really interesting type combo.
We live in such diverse times, you know? Like, acceptance of Grass Ghost, like, mixed race Pokemon. It's,
there you go.
It's a beautiful thing. First we had Obama, now we got Decidueye.
Close enough. So, yeah, it's weird that he goes from grass flying to grass... ghost, but whatever. He's a ghost. He's a ghost owl. Whatever the fuck. Anyway, the fire type that everyone is shitting on because when the image of it leaked, it looks kind of like a Lucha Libre fighter. That's kind of like the theme of it, and everyone was like, "Please don't be fighting type. Please don't be fighting type," because there have been three fire starters that have gone firefighting. And it's just like a played out type combo. It was Blaziken, Pyroar, and then, God, I'm blanking on the third one.
The current
one? Oh, Infernape. No, and then so the third one is, he's not fighting type, he's dark type. But he's still like fighting themed, which is kind of fucking lame.
Kind of edgy.
Yeah, exactly. Dark type in Japanese is Aku type, so it's literally like evil type, which is funny.
Aku, shape-shifting master of darkness.
There you go. Aku, the shape-shifting master. Okay, let's not break into that because we totally
could do season of Samurai Jack. When it comes out, we have to talk about it.
Yeah, we should talk about that. That's something that Eric and I have like not shut the fuck up about every time we hang out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Unleashed
okay.
An unspeakable evil.
People do not want to hear, unless they do want to hear this. Let us know if you want to hear this. Tweet at Tequila. Let us know. We want to hear the opening theme intro for Samurai Jack recreated by Dan and I. Because, like, we'll do it.
Oh,
we've,
yeah.
We've done it before off-air many times.
I dare say hundreds of times.
Yes. I don't think anyone else finds it funny, but we do. So if you want to hear that, tweet at Tequila. Dan, tell me more about Aku-type Pokemon.
So what's kind of lame is that it's still, like, fighting-themed. So Game Freak and Nintendo, y'all are lazy as fuck. Fuck you. You could have done better. It's still like a Lucha Libre themed Pokemon. Like, we've had three fighting, and also there's been a starter Pokemon called Pyroar, and this one called Incineroar. Like, come on.
So the issue here is that people feel like the developers are being lazy. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, this fire type is just unoriginal, and like the first and second forms are on all four legs, and all the Pokemon fans were like, please stay on four legs. Please don't be fighting type. Please don't become bipedal like all the other fire-type Pokemon.
So can I ask you a question? Yeah. Is this like, you know, is there actually a stir in the Pokemon community about like the combination of types the starter Pokemon are? Like, aren't there just like...
Yes.
You know, so that's an issue. Like, people are like, put a petition together. We've got a green grass ghost. Sorry, I'm... Yeah, ghost Pokemon.
I mean, those are all correct things. It is a green grass green ghost grass Pokemon. Ghost,
different adjectives, all describing the Desiduo. Desidui.
There you go. There you go.
I got it the second time. Shut up. There's a stir in the community. That's what you're telling me.
Yes. Specifically, not over Decidueye, but over Incineroar, which is just completely unoriginal. In fact, I think the fan favorite right now is Decidueye, just because he's a fucking like badass ghost Robin Hood owl thing. Whereas,
tell you what, I'm rooting for him.
The Robin Hood owl.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on from stupid fire type to interesting water type. So Popplio. The one that the internet was shitting on at first, the little seal, the little derp seal, evolves into this like diva singing siren themed water fairy type, which is interesting. Water fairy typing, this is why I'm choosing the water type. One, because I normally choose water type. Two, because water fairy type is an amazing combo that I have not seen before, I don't think. Water fairy type is defensively really interesting. I mean, you fuck dragons up. You're weak to poison. You're weak to fewer things than you normally would be with just a water type, I believe. But it's also like this interesting diva of a Pokemon. Some people shat on it because it was like super feminine, but you know, Chikorita wasn't exactly masculine. Anyway, those are the starters. And then in the trailer they dropped recently, when I was watching it, Eric, I didn't get as much excitement from you, but when they showed red and blue, I basically shat my pants.
So maybe you should explain what that means, because you had to also explain to me what that means.
Okay, so in the trailer that they showed the fully evolved starters, they show red and blue, who are the original characters from the red and blue versions, who are the characters that in the manga and the video games inspired Ash and Gary. Also, in case you don't know, fuck Ash. Compared to Red, Ash is a little bitch. I wish we had footnotes in this podcast, but Zencaster doesn't... Not Zencaster, SoundCloud doesn't allow footnotes. Anyway, just look up Ash versus Red, and you'll see how Red is way better than Ash. Anyway, they have Red and Blue, sorry, in the trailer, or this video that they dropped, and they're like our age, which is fucking awesome. And also Red in Gold and Silver version, when you meet him, like, doesn't say shit. Like, you meet him in the middle of Mount Silver to battle him, and it just says dot, 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 and then you battle. And in this game, he doesn't say shit, just like he used to not say shit. So it was just awesome.
Oh, so it's like, that's the joke.
Yeah, that he never says anything. He's just silent the whole time, and he's a badass trainer. Also, the shirt that he was wearing in this video says 96 on it, which is supposed to pay homage to the fact that Pokemon came out in 1996.
Cool, man.
Yeah, that's that.
I'm excited by your excitement.
I'm going to play the shit out of Pokemon Moon, hashtag Team Moon.
Are you excited for upcoming whatever's upcoming for the Switch?
Oh, I'm super excited. Last note, Pokemon comes out on my birthday, which I'm also super pumped about. Yeah, Sun and Moon is gonna be midnight released on my birthday.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah, I'm totally going to that. Anyway, yeah, so Nintendo Switch is gonna be badass. Coming in March, right?
Yes, in March, as we discussed, you know, in the previous drunk episode. We're sober now. Sober thoughts.
Marginally. So. We're like marginally sober.
So we can correct a few things. Oh, by the way, thanks for pointing out to me that I said like maybe 50 times
the yeah, past but we, episode. We clarified that you work with like 90% women, so I think that's that might be why.
I'm just like, you know, I'm just a sponge. I'm just taking up all the lingo.
So, yeah, you wanted to talk about, I forget what it's called, Call to the Wild? What the fuck is it called again?
Well, it's the new Zelda game. Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild.
It's the wild. Ooh, that's nice. Breathe in that one.
Breathe in the. That's such a Japanese name. It's such a. Like all the all the Japanese names, they sound like existential as fuck. They always do.
I'm like, doesn't that sound like a Miyazaki movie to you?
Yeah,
like,
Breath of the Wild.
Or like a sequel to Ponyo that's like grittier, like Ponyo, Breath of the Wild.
No, it's My Friend Totoro, Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, okay, yeah, even better. It's a great subtitle for any Miyazaki movie. Princess Mononoke, Breath of the Wild. Castle in the Sky, Breath of the Wild.
Anyway.
Nausicaa Valley of the Wind, : Breath of the Wild. Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, it looks really cool. It's kind of like, well, what I was just telling you before we started recording is what I find so cool about it, and this is a first for a Zelda game, it's like really like a humongous, like, humongous map, like biggest they've ever done, mm-hmm. You know, like GTA style, like, you know, every new GTA is like, it's like four times the last map. You know, so, like,
yeah.
So big, you're like, why is it so big?
Where am I? I'm lost. Yeah.
Well, that has now happened with a Zelda game, kind of, except like Zelda games are different in that like actual thought and care is like put into like, you know, like a GTA game is like prone to so many bugs and like stuff like that. And like it can all look the same sometimes. It's like GTA, like, great games. Yeah.
It's kind of like Skyrim where it's like the environment is tailored. Little bit of it.
But what we know about Zelda games is everything is made with purpose, you know, care. You know, like details are there for a reason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, they perform some sort of task. Yeah.
There's no bugs in a Zelda game, you know? Like there's no glitches.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, like not like game-breaking glitches. I'm sure there are. You know, speedrunners can find anything. Yeah. But it just looks so cool. Like, it's got, like, an open-world kind of feel to it, but it's also, like, really bright, colorful.
Yeah, we're talking Miyazaki about the aesthetics. Type. Yeah, so, like, it's very, like, impressionistic, you know, like, golden sky, like a Monet painting kind of thing.
Definitely.
Really pretty, you know, like, impressionist painting kind of thing, but it looks aesthetically similar to the last game, Skyward Sword.
But sharper.
In terms of colors. Yeah, and it's sharper. I was telling Eric earlier, it's kind of somewhere between Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword, in that Twilight Princess, you know, was sharp and colorful, but a little dark and edgy. And this is, like, edgy and bright.
Yeah, and it's just, like, got all these, like, interesting mechanics that we have probably been showed, like, hardly any of, but, like, I saw, like, a really cool magnet item, you know? Like, you know, it's a Zelda game. They're going to have, like, cool items.
Wait, there's, like, there's a wolf with you, like, from Twilight Princess?
I think so. I think if you get, like, if you use their amiibo or something like that. If you are one to have bought an amiibo.
The only amiibo I have came with when I bought that Yoshi yarn game. Came with the game. The little yarn Yoshi, yeah.
Yarn Yoshi.
That game is actually really cute. It's a Yoshi game that the entire game, like everything material in the game is made of yarn. And it's really cute. It's amazing, actually.
Okay, so, like, you take, like, you know, great art direction like that, and you put it in a generally open world, and that's what I'm excited about.
I'm excited about, the open world aspect of it. I'm excited of, like, this feels, I mean, this is, like, a layman's way of putting it. This feels as if it is the Skyrimification of Zelda, in a way.
Yeah, and that's great. Yeah. I think that's great.
No, I love that. I mean, I love Skyrim. I love Zelda. If you make Zelda more Skyrim-y, fuck yeah.
then people will definitely want to take it on the go, which sells. This game is going to sell. This is going to sell Switches.
Oh, like,
this,
hell yeah.
This game by itself.
Well, especially because I think, you know how we talked about in the podcast.
What Twilight Princess did for the Wii.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
By the way.
And yeah. we talked about on the podcast, the full episode last time, that the Wii U is kind of like out of production. And I think I could be wrong, but I think that they aren't making this for the Wii U. When I said Wii, I meant Wii U. The Wii U is not going to have this game, from what I understand, because it's not going to be in production anymore. So I think that'll push people to get the Switch, if that's true.
I think they're doing their thing where like they release it for the last console.
You think they're going to do both?
But it's pretty much already dead. Like, you know, mm-hmm. like... Nintendo does this a lot, particularly with Zelda games.
Like, yeah, Zelda tends to be the like...
They released Skyward Sword for Wii U, but also kind of Wii. Like, they released Twilight Princess for Wii, but also kind of GameCube.
Yep.
Like, so they do this every time. Like, even if the Wii U is dead, which it is,
mm-hmm.
even if they haven't said it yet, you know, like, people are going to be able to play it both ways.
Yeah, I have seen that there are rumors that it's going to be not on the Wii U, but either way... even if it is still on the Wii U, I think it's going to like galvanize people to buy the Switch. Also, the fact that if the Switch just lives up to most of the hype in that video, that people are going to be like hyped to get it. I mean, I am.
You know what they should do? Maybe carry over your purchases from the Nintendo store.
Oh my God, if they don't do that, I'm going to pitch a fit.
You're going to pitch a fit?
I'm going to pitch a fit. I'm going to fit a pitch. I'm going to fuck their shit up. I'm going to be so I'm gonna be so upset if they don't do that.
Everybody watch out. If Dan pitches a fit, nobody's safe.
Game over.
How your kids
Game blouses.
Dave Chappelle hosting SNL next week.
Yeah, that's I'm more.
We're recording right now on a Saturday, so a week from now, mm-hmm. we'll definitely be tuning into Saturday Night Live. Free plug for you guys. You're welcome.
There you go. There you go.
Chappelle. We're excited.
I got 40 nations.
Coalition of the willing.
Running a roll, son. Here, let's give it like 5 minutes to talk about, or maybe less, to talk about Akira. So, shout out Daniel Newman. Loaned me Akira, and because I had a Zelda Akira like cross shirt on, a t-shirt that has like Link walking to Epona as if it were forget the main character's name, walking to his bike.
Kanada,
yeah, that's his name. So yeah, I watched it for the first time a couple weeks ago. Eric was like, "Holy shit, I love that movie!" So we decided to talk about Akira. So we're keeping this episode 100% Japanese content.
Yep, I guess you can tell what we like.
So yeah, I watched it for the and I realized after watching that how, you know, like knowing when it came out. It came out like in the '80s, right, Akira.
Yes.
So yeah. You could totally tell that it influenced Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z and anime like that in the way that the guy's like telekinesis, Tetsuo, I believe. His mm-hmm. telekinesis kind of like goes nuts. It's very like Dragon Ball Z power surge, rocks lifting kind of thing. Like,
well, it was like, you know, at the time it was nothing less than revolutionary because like no one had seen an animated film quite like this. Like, this was like it deals with so many like themes and like heavy issues, you know, and like it's got a crazy ending, you know, and like so much insane shit happens.
I think there's a South Park reference to that movie, the South Park episode with have you seen the one with Eric Cartman's Trapper Keeper where like
no, I'm pretty behind on
no that one's like really old. It's a really old episode.
Okay.
It's like it's a mixture of references from like Terminator and I believe Akira, because at the end Cartman becomes like a giant, like amorphous blob like Tetsuo does at the end.
Oh, okay.
It's like it's changing me. Ah! Like it's the same thing. I feel like that's a reference because I haven't seen that in any other movie or show.
It sounds like a reference. Well, I was just so excited for you to hear that
I'd seen it.
Saw this.
It was it was good. I mean, you could also tell.
Did you have a good time? Did you have a nice time?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it very much. I've also been like on a old anime I wouldn't say spree because it's only been like two things, but I also watched
a kick that defines as a kick.
There you go.
Two or more.
Just two things. It's a kick.
Yeah. It's like several, same use. Like I'm on a kick.
It's more than one thing. I also watched with Sadie. We watched, you remember how Daft Punk made that like anime movie with their album called Interstellar 555, or it might be four fives, 5555.
No, I haven't seen that.
It's it's all the like famous Daft Punk songs, you know, like One More Time and Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger and all that. Ooh, and, like the people.
Can I get your opinion on The Weeknd's relatively new song?
Which one?
Starboy.
Oh, it's pretty good. When I saw Daft Punk featured, I expected more like Daft Punkiness, but it's good. I don't dislike it. I like it.
Okay, cool. I just want the pod to know I've watched that music video perhaps 10 times.
Oh, it's a good music video, yeah.
It's just a great music video. If you haven't seen it, you should just go see it. It's like the peak of like a cinematic music video. It's like very cool. I don't even want to give away the beginning because the beginning is kind of like the coolest, like best, like cinematic part. So like, you know, Weeknd's feeling himself is the summary I would
give. Have you seen the music video for Run the Jewels, Close Your Eyes and Count to Fuck?
I don't think so. I do love Run the Jewels.
It's that song with Zach De La Rocha on it.
Oh, like running too fast.
Yeah, that one.
I have seen that. That one's really great.
That's
too,
a crazy just, music video.
They just keep like tackling each other and like rolling around. You know what? Tonight's really taught me that we need to have a spin-off pod that's just like Eric and Dan like describe music videos through the audio medium, and it's very uninteresting.
Or it's just us. It's us like saying things together, like the long ago in a distant.
Yes. Call it sound bites. BYTBS. That's definitely taken.
God damn it!
Free idea out there for anybody.